It's time for the Rose Garden Checkup with Dr. Barry McCasland. Dr. McCasland is a board-certified physician who loves growing roses and helping gardeners maintain a healthy lifestyle. With each segment, you'll learn about a topic relevant to gardeners, exclusively on the Rose Chat podcast.
My question to you, what do the roses Veterans Honor, Mr. Lincoln, and Lava Glute have in common? Answer number one is they're all wonderful red roses. Answer number two is that my brother John has no idea what color they are. Now how could this be? Well, he's completely red-green colorblind. We first discovered this in 1979 when at the age of five, and he was just starting kindergarten, he insisted on picking out his first day of school clothes just like his older brothers. Well, needless to say, he ended up looking like a Christmas tree. So I thought for this edition we could talk about how we see and appreciate color and reflect on how different life would be if we couldn't. Maybe it's my own bias as a neurologist, but if you ask me, the organ of vision is unquestionably the brain. The eye is, well, merely its window. The actual seeing parts of the eye are really part of the brain. Let me explain. Light enters the eye and is refracted, or focused, onto a structure at the back of the eyeball called the retina, which is a central nervous system component that happens to live inside the eyeball. The retina contains numerous photoreceptor cells, about 130 million of them in the human visual system, that react to light by generating a tiny electrical signal. The two main classes of photoreceptor cells are rods and cones. Now, rods react to low levels of light, and they allow us to see even in relative darkness. The cone cells, on the other hand, react to light of different wavelengths, some of them reacting to blue, others to green, and still others to red light wavelengths. The electrical signals generated by these cells depend on the image that is presented to the eye. Innumerable combinations are possible. The signals are then relayed back to the thalamus, deep in the center of the brain, and then to the primary visual cortex in the occipital lobe at the back of the brain where seeing begins. In an incredibly complicated and poorly understood process, signals are then sent to secondary and then tertiary visual cortex and beyond. And characteristics of the image we're seeing, such as its form, orientation, and motion, are decoded. Projections to memory portions of the brain allow recognition by matching the image to previously seen things. Other connections allow images to evoke emotions. Color blindness occurs when an individual cannot perceive all of the hues that most of the population can distinguish. It may be inherited or acquired. Inherited color blindness occurs when defective genes result in defective opsins, the proteins in the cone cells that react to the various wavelengths of light. Many of the genes that code for opsins live on the X chromosome. Men who have only a single X chromosome will then have color perception problems if the genes on the X chromosome coding for opsins are damaged. Women having two X chromosomes will only have the same problem if they inherit damaged genes on both X chromosomes. And therefore, female colorblindness is uncommon. The most frequently inherited mutation results in red-green colorblindness, and it affects 1% of males, including my brother John. Now, conditions that affect the optic nerve can cause acquired colorblindness. In my practice as a neurologist, I frequently treat patients with optic neuritis, a condition in which the optic nerve, which is the parent structure of the retina, becomes inflamed by the immune system. These individuals lose much or all of their vision in the affected eye and often recover their vision but with the permanent inability to distinguish red. So, what about your life as a rosarian would be different if you were colorblind? Well, apart from wearing mismatched outfits to Rose Society meetings, you would probably not grow many red roses. They would look gray to you, so you'd gravitate to white and yellow roses, and probably even blue hydrangeas. It would be very difficult to be a judge at a rose show. People with normal color vision would try to describe what red looks like, and you'd ignore them because you've heard it all before. But you'd still enjoy your roses. They have form and they have fragrance, which, in my humble opinion, eclipses all other properties of roses, including color. You'd still enjoy the Mother's Day Rose Show. And at the end of the show, you'd get into your car, probably a blue one. You'd drive down the long driveway that exits the botanical garden, and upon seeing that the bottom light on the traffic signal is lit, you'll know exactly what to do.
The advice given in this segment is meant for basic informational purposes and is not intended as a replacement for the advice given to you by your physician. Consult with your doctor before making decisions concerning your health. This has been the Rose Garden Checkup with Dr. Barry McCasland, exclusively on the Rose Chat Podcast.